And we're holding Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the second line. The Mishnah had talked about that you're not allowed to hold up a pot with a piece of wood, meaning let's say the pot is dented or something and you need a piece of wood to help hold it up so it doesn't tip over. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. And we said the reason was because the Tana of our Mishnah holds that wood is that the as we're going to talk about a few times on today's Amud, the Tana of this Mishnah holds that the only valid purpose you can use wood for on Yom Tov is for firewood, not for anything else. So here, so on the Mishnah, Rashi had used the expression that it's mukta for any use because it's reserved for firewood. Further on in the Gemara on Amud Beis, Rashi gives a slightly different reason, that the reason is because wood is usually designated for making kalim out of, and of course you can't make kalim on Yom Tov. In any case, the Mishnah had said that you can't hold up the ein sim kana sakdeira b'bakas, you're not allowed to hold up a pot using a piece of wood, v'chein badelas, and the same thing with a door. So it sounds like you're not allowed to use a door to hold up a piece, to hold up a pot. So you must badelas sakdeira with a door. If you tried to use a door for that purpose, it would break. Nobody's going to do that. Rather, what the Mishnah means to say is, and the same thing as far as a door, that you're not allowed to hold open a door with a piece of wood for the same reason, because the wood is there for firewood or because it's meant to make kalim out of, and therefore you can't use it on Yom Tov for a different purpose. So we'll discuss soon. We'll discuss soon whether the halacha is like that or not. Okay. Turn around, Bono. We learn in a Braisa. Ein sevchen esakdeira b'bakas v'chein hadelas. You're not allowed to hold up a pot or, and the same thing, a door with wood. L'fichel le'niknu etzim ala l'hasaka, because, as we said, wood is reserved only for making a fire on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, I mean. But Rav Shimon matter, whereas Rav Shimon allows it, because Rav Shimon does not hold of that concept of mukta. So, given we've talked about before, now, of course, we said we have Rav Shimon versus Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda is machmir in dinim of mukta, then it would come out, if we hold like Rav Yehuda, and that would be what our Mishnah says, then it's osur. So since we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that for certain purposes on Yom Tov, we do hold like Rav Yehuda's definition of mukta, then that would mean in that case it would be osur. What we actually said there was, as far as mukta, the minhag ha'olam is still to follow Rav Shimon, only when it comes to noilad on Yom Tov, where we machmir like Rav Yehuda. So according to that, it would come out that you are in fact allowed to use a piece of wood for a purpose like that. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, the ein manhiganus abehema b'mako b'yom Tov. We said you're not allowed to lead an animal along with a stick, but obalaz of Rav Shimon matir. Whereas Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon says it's mutter. So, what does that mean? Why does he hold that it's mutter? The Gemara is assuming, for starters, that the Tanakhama is not allowing it because of mutter, because again, leinitnu etzim el la'asaka, that the only valid purpose to use wood for is for fire. And here you're not. Whereas Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, it sounds like, is holding like Rav Shimon, who doesn't hold of that concept of mutter. So that's the question. Do we have to say, therefore, that Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, for this purpose, holds like his father, the Lesley Mukta, where his father, and therefore he himself, does not hold of that broad definition of Mukta? And the answer is, loy, not necessarily. Because in this case, even Rav Shimon would agree that it would be also to lead the animal with a stick, because it gives the appearance of taking the animal to a market or to a fair. Literally, chinga, Rashi explained, means mochel, a dance in a circle. It's actually related to the word chag in Lashon Kodesh. The reason why a market is called that, because people like circle around and they go around from one place to another, so therefore it's called chinga. So even Rav Shimon would agree that such a thing is not allowed, that you can't bring it to market on Yom Tov, of course, and therefore to lead it along with a stick would give the appearance of that. But the Pnei Yeshua actually points out the Lashon of the Gemara is a little odd over here. What do you mean, loy? The fact is that the, what do you mean that no? It sounds like the Gemara is saying Rav Shimon ben Elazar does not hold like his father. He does. We find in other Gemaras that he does agree with his father Rav Shimon about his conception of Muktzah. What the Gemara means with the loy is we assumed that the Tanakama was talking from the point of view of Muktzah, and therefore Rav Shimon and therefore Rav Elazar Rav Shimon is saying to the Tanakama, I know you're saying it's also because of Muktzah, but I hold that it should be mutter because I hold like my father as far as mutter. That's not how the discussion went. Rather, the discussion went, the Tanakama and Rav Shimon would also agree that would say that you can't lead the animal with a stick because it looks like you're going to a market. And Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon says, I'm not concerned about that marisayin. I'm not concerned about that, that it looks like you're going to the market. The fact is, I don't hold of mukta like my father, and therefore, I don't hold of that problem that it looks like it's going to the market. Therefore, it's mutter. So in other words, it would come out, according to the Pnei Yeshua, that you have three opinions over here. You have the Tanakama saying, well, not just according to the Pnei Yeshua, according to the Pshat of the Gemara. You have the Tanakama saying that's Osir. For one thing, he holds a Mukta. You have Rav Shimon saying, I don't hold of Mukta, but I hold that there is the problem of going to, that looking like you're going to a Chinga. And then you have Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, who says neither problem applies, therefore it's allowed. Okay. Next, talking about using wood for different purposes, Chizra. What if you have a branch that has a sharp end, and therefore you can use it as a spit for meat? Rav Nachman also Rav Sheshes Shari. Rav Nachman says it's also to use it as a spit on Yom Tov, unless you designated it for before Yom Tov, because again, it's Mukti. You didn't make it into a keli for that purpose before Yom Tov. Rav Sheshes Shari, Rav Sheshes says it's mutter. So let's analyze. Biritiva, if it's a fresh branch, fresh twig, and it's not going to burn in a fire, Kula Amalei Pligid D'Osir, everybody agrees that it would be Osir, because given that we're saying that Lo Nitnu Eitzim Elo HaSaka, at least if it's dry, then fine, you could argue that it has a function on Yom Tov. If it's moist, then it doesn't even have that. So therefore, so they're both going to agree it's Osir. Ki Pligid B'Yabeshta. They're going to argue only when it's dry. Manda Osir. So Rav Nachman, who says it's Osir Amalach, he's going to say, listen, Lo Nitnu Eitzim Elo HaSaka, wood is only usable on Yom Tov for firewood, as we said in the Mishnah. Therefore, you can't use it as a spit. Umanda Shari, whereas Rav Sheshes, who allows it, Omalach, he would say, Mali Litzlis Boy, Mali Litzlis Begachalto. If you're already allowed to roast using the coals of the wood, in other words, you can move it to make it into coals, then already, so using it as a spit is effectively the same thing. You're sticking it into the meat versus you're sticking it into the fire and it burns and you're roasting the meat over the coals. Either way, it amounts to the same thing. Therefore, that should be mutter. When we say that you're not allowed to take a piece of wood and use it for something else, like that would be, for example, you're using it to hold up a pot where it itself is not contributing towards the cooking of the food. But here, it actually is. As coals, it would contribute towards the cooking of the food. As a spit, it also does. Therefore, Rav Sheshes would say that would be fine. Ikadamli, another version, is the other way around. The Abeshta Kula Amalei Pligi Deshari. If it's a dry one, everybody would agree it's mutter, based on that logic. Mali Litzvah is bari, Mali Litzvah is begachalter. Ki Pligi Beretivta. The Machloikas would be about a moist one. Manda Osar, the one who says Rav Nachman that it's also would say and Deloy Chazi LaHasaka. The fact is you can't use it for firewood because it's so fresh. So therefore you can't say Mali Litzlis Boy or Begachaldoy. That logic wouldn't apply now. Or Manda Shari, whereas of Sheshes, who allows it, Omalach, he's going to tell you Ha Chazi LaHesek Gadol. After all, it's true if you tried to take this twig and burn it by itself, it wouldn't work. But if you put it into a big fire, if you have a large pile of dry firewood and put one moist twig into it, it will catch on. Therefore, that should be there. Therefore, we can still say that it's roi for firewood. And again, the logic, as we said before, is once it's roi for firewood, then it should be usable for other purposes that directly contribute towards the cooking of the food. The hilchasa, the bottom line, halacha is, yabeshta shari retivta osir. It's only if it's a dry one is it mutter, but if it's a moist one, it's osir. Which would be, in other words, like the, according to the first loshen, that would come out like, according to the first loshen, that would come out like Rav Sheshes. According to the second loshen, it would come out like Rav Nachman. Rashi says, now that's only according to the opinion that mukta applies. since we hold like Reb Shimon, and therefore not only by Muktzah, but also by Dovah Shein Miskaben. And on the other hand, when it comes to Machshira Eichel Nefesh, as we've talked about before, the halacha there is like Reb Yehuda, then therefore that would be Mutter. Not only that would be Mutter, but Rashi says actually that all the things the Gemara was saying up until and including the top of the Amud that we talked about yesterday to set up these various things that we were talking about, putting eggs on a tripod and putting up a bed and putting up two barrels with a pot on top of them, all of them, Rashi says, Lamaisa, halacha lamaisa would be mutter. Tosfos disagrees with that because it's strange that the Gemara would paskin something that's not a libur de hilchasa, something that's not correct up the halacha. So therefore, Tosfos says that no. Even Reb Shimon says that even Reb Shimon is saying that he disagrees with the concept of loy nitnu etzma la hasaka. He still agrees that the wood has to be usable for hasaka. Where here it's not. And the Ran adds, it's true that it's usable behesed gadol, but it amounts to, in other words, you're saying that you have to mix it with something else in order to use it. To that extent, to go so far as to say mali litzlis boy mali litzlis begachalta, fine. But to say mali litzlis boy mali litzlis with an eruv of it, with mixing it with other things, and then use gachelas, that the Gemara is saying that's a bridge too far. So therefore, Tosfos says that what the Gemara is saying here is in fact correct al pi halacha. Even though the halacha is not that loy nitnu etzim el hasaka, we are allowed to use wood for other purposes, but only when the wood actually would be able to be used for firewood directly, not when it's only in hesed gadol. Okay, more on this topic. Dorash Rava, isha lo tikonis l'dir ha'etzim l'tol mehen ud. A woman on Yom Tov is not allowed to go into the literally a deer means a pen, but it means the enclosed area where they keep wood. Little mehen ud, to take a piece of wood to use as an ud. An ud is a poker that you use to move around the wood and the fire to make it burn better. You have like the Lashon HaPosuk that Rebbe used to quote all the time, ud mutzel me'esh. You have the expression in the Posuk that Yeshua Kohen Gadol was like an ud, like a brand, like a poker grabbed out of the fire. So that's what an ud is. It's a piece of wood that's used to move around the other pieces in the fire, and of course sometimes it itself catches on fire. So you're not allowed to go into the wood pile to take an ud, to take a piece of wood to now use as an ud, because again it's muktzah. Rashi explains again that Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Tosfos disagrees. Why would the Gemara be paskining something like Rabbi Yehuda if the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Shimon, where Tosfos consistently holds throughout the Masechta that even on Yom Tov, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon as far as Muktzah, only as far as Nolad is there a problem. So Tosfos says rather the reason is even Rabbi Shimon would agree because this amounts to making a keli, and even Rabbi Shimon agrees that you can't make a keli on Yom Tov.
So why just the woman?
We're mentioning a woman is the most common thing for her to do. She's the one who tends the fire in the house. It's the same thing, same principle as, for example, when we talk about baking bread, most of the time we talk about a woman. Not that men don't bake bread also, but in those times, at least, it was much more common for women to do it. We don't mean a woman as opposed to a man. We're just mentioning the most common situation.
What is the difference than yesterday when we learned about if it's to make the bread better, you're allowed to take out the ash if it's not circulating, you know, when you're making bread. If
right.
Because
it directly affects the bread. There, what it is if you have too many ashes and whatever in the oven and you don't clear them out, then the bread itself or the tabshil itself or whatever is going to get burnt and ruined. Here, what it is fine. By all means, use an ud, but prepare it before Yom Tov. Why do you have to go dafka on Yom Tov and take a new piece to use as an ud? Use something that you had from beforehand. You can't make a keli on Yom Tov for that purpose.
Even though you're just using it to make the bread bake better.
Well, you're using it in order to move around. Yeah, you're using it in order to move around the wood and whatever in the fire. Yeah, it does make the bread bake better, but nevertheless, that's the kind of thing. So again, according to Rashi, the reason it's also is because here we're talking according to Rabbi Yehuda. And his concept of muktzah. Yesterday, according to that, we were talking according to, well, we weren't necessarily talking about dinim of muchta. There, the issue was more a matter of machshira eichel nefesh. There was a different shita of Rabbi Yehuda that allowed it, because he said you're allowed to do machshira eichel nefesh. But to make an ud, we're saying that according to Rashi, we're back to the problem of muchta, that handling that wood for that purpose, where loy nitum eitzim el lasaka, would be also according to Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Tosfos, rather, the reason is because you're making a keli, and for sure, to make a keli, that you don't have a heter to do on Yom Tov.
Okay.
Even if it's, yeah. Again, I mean, so once you get into making a keli, you do get into machshira eichel nefesh. But again, we've talked about before, there are details about what machshira eichel nefesh are and aren't allowed on Yom Tov. One of the distinctions being that we talked about whether you're benefiting directly from the malacha itself, or whether it's an indirect thing. Here, where you're taking a piece of wood and using it and making it into an oud, making it into a poker, and using it to stir up the coals, indirectly, out of that, you get that now the food bakes better. So therefore, to make a keli for that purpose would be also, if you already have the keli and you're moving them around, then fine. That's more like what we talked about yesterday.
Right. Well, you said to make it a poker means she's shaving the corn, like making it a point, or... She just picked up a random
piece. That's what it sounds like. Rashi uses the expression lasis ud latanu, to make an ud for the fire. So it sounds like you're not just taking a random piece of wood and just using it. You're actually doing something to make it, to shape it for that purpose. Right, which is why Tosfos says that it's like tikkuni mona, it's like making a keli. Right.
That makes more sense. Okay. Makes it easier to understand.
Good. Okay. Also, Rava continues, ud shenishbar. Also, if an ud breaks, if you had an ud before Yom Tov, and you were using it, and now it broke, also lahasika yamtiv. You're not allowed to take the broken pieces and use them for firewood. Lafisha masik in the kalim, the ain masik in the shivri kalim. Because Rava says you're only allowed to use kalim for firewood, because once the kalim themselves are allowed to be picked up with sort of gufa or makoime or whatever, then just as well you can use it for firewood, but not broken kalim, because now it's nolam. Because before Yom Tov, you didn't have any idea in mind that it was going to break. So the question is, remember the Rava could have Yehuda Sviroi de Isfai Mukta? Are you telling me then that Rava holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of the broader concept of Mukta, and therefore this Ud would be there? So according to Rashi, both parts of what Rava is saying depend on Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. The first part, that the wood is Mukta, so because it's reserved for firewood, and the second part, because now you have nolad. According to Tosfos, it's only the second part that goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. But is that correct? Does Rava in fact hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Va'amalei Rava l'shamei, we find that Rava one time told his shamish, tovi an yomtiv, tovi li bar abza, roast a goose for me, v'shadi ne'e l'shunra, and throw the intestines to the cat's teeth. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the intestines were, before Yom Tov, all of them were mukhan la'adam, because you could shecht the bird on Yom Tov and eat everything, including the intestines. Now it's changing its status. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the same principle as we've learned before, for example, that if an animal dies on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda does not allow you to cut it up to feed to animals. By the same logic we would say over here, says Rashi, that the intestines, being that they're not really, they're not something that people normally eat, then now they have a new status. They would be considered nolad. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be also to move them. It would be also to feed them to the dogs. So if Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then how is he doing that? Tosfos says, what does one thing have to do with the other? Here it's not that the intestines are inedible by people. He's not eating them because he'd rather eat the meat of the goose. It's not that the intestines are inedible. So therefore, rather, Tosfos explains, what we're talking about is the intestines already started spoiling. So therefore, people aren't going to be eating them. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, that's an example of Nolad. Before Yom Tov, you had in mind that when the goose was shechted, everything was going to be edible. Well, fine, you weren't necessarily going to be eating the intestines yourself, but you could have if you chose to. Now they're spoiled and they can't, and they're only fit for cats, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be Mukta. The answer is Hossam. The answer is, the Gemara says, Kivin de Masruchi Me'esmo, Kivin de Masruchi, since they're going to spoil, Me'esmo, Daiti Elavei, he already has them in mind from before Yom Tov. So according to Rashi, the answer is, a person knows when he shechts a goose or whatever on Yom Tov, that if he leaves the intestines and doesn't eat them, then they're going to spoil. Therefore, ready before Yom Tov, he has in mind that those intestines are going to be fed to the animals, and therefore, even according to the Yehuda, there would be no problem with it. According to Tosfos, rather, the answer is, we're saying because they have spoiled, therefore, and he knows that they're going to spoil very quickly, and in this case, that actually happened. They did start spoiling before he had a chance to do anything with them. Therefore, he has in mind already before Yom Tov that if that happens, if they end up spoiling before I have a chance to get to them, then I'm going to throw them to the cats or the dogs or whatever, and therefore it's mutter. So yes, Rava could in fact hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore that his statement about not taking wood to make an ud, and that you're not allowed to use the broken pieces for firewood, at least one part of that, according to Rashi, both parts, would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. And yes, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But the fact that he allows you to throw the intestines to the cat is a special case, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be fine because he had it in mind before Yom Tov. As opposed to when an ud breaks, you didn't expect before Yom Tov that it was going to break. Again, given that we pass skin, even on Yom Tov, that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon by Muktzeh and like Rabbi Yehuda only with Noilad, then it would come out that as far as making an ud, if you're not actually making it into a keli, then it would be fine because you're allowed to take a piece of wood and use it for other purposes. However, if you're making it into a keli, like Tosfos had said, then of course not because you can't make a keli on Yom Tov. Continues the Mishnah on topics of what you're allowed to do with firewood on Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Noita Odom Kesem Mishalafanav, a person is allowed to take a chip of wood from the wood that's in front of him in the house, with Lachtzitz Boshinav to pick his teeth. Now, in fact, Rashi says Rabbi Eliezer would actually allow you to take wood from the Chotzer as well, because he continues in the Mishnah. Well, let's continue the Mishnah. Umagabev min haChotzer umadvik. Rabbi Eliezer also says he's allowed to collect wood, to collect pieces of wood that are scattered around his Chotzer and use them for firewood on Yom Tov. So therefore, Rashi explains that actually when Rabbi Eliezer is allowing you to take a chip of wood to pick your teeth, he would actually allow you to take it from the Chotzer as well. So the reason why it mentions Mishal Afanav is because the Chachamim are going to disagree and say even Mishal Afanav is a problem. Tosfos actually doesn't like that explanation, and they say that no, in fact, Rabbi Eliezer does mean Mishal Afanav. It's true that everything in the Chotzer is Muchan, but that's because when it comes to eating, because you can say a person eats sometimes in his chotzer, but as far as using wood for other purposes, there Rabbi Eliezer would agree that only what's in the house is muchan and not as much what's in the chotzer. So fine, he can collect wood from the chotzer for firewood, but not for picking his teeth. So according to Tosfos, the Mishal Afanav is davka. Anyway, Umagabev min haChotzer umadlik, Rabbi Eliezer continues that he's allowed to collect pieces of wood, for small pieces of wood, from around the Chotzer, and use them for firewood. Now, the other day we talked about that you're allowed to collect wood from the Karpif, or whatever the difference is. There we were talking about large pieces of wood. Here we're talking about little slivers of wood. So Rabbi Eliezer is allowing you to gather them from the Chotzer, to kol mashav haChotzer muchanahu, because he says everything that's in the Chotzer is already pre-designated before Yom Tov. You have in mind before Yom Tov that you're going to be able to use it. V'chamam and the Chum disagree, and they say megadav mishalafonav umadnik. No, you can collect pieces of wood from in front of you that are in the house and use them for firewood, but not from around the Chotzer. Because since they're small pieces, it's a big tircha to collect them from around the chotzer, so they weren't really designated for that purpose as for before Yom Tov. As far as the picking the teeth, again, the Chachamim disagree, again, because lo nitnu etzim al la'asaka. So they're saying to Rabbi Eliezer, this that you're saying you're allowed to take a piece of wood to pick your teeth, that no, because lo nitnu etzim al la'asaka, the only valid purpose of wood on Yom Tov is firewood. As far as that you can collect from the chotzer, no, because there's too much tircha involved. Tosfos gives a different reason why the Chachamim would disagree about picking your teeth, because as a something that we're going to be talking about in the Gemara, you might not just take the piece of wood as is, you might have to cut it to size to use, or cut the end of it sharp or whatever to use to be more effective in picking your teeth. And again, you're back to the problem of making a cavity. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is not concerned about that, and therefore it's fine. Continues the Mishnah. The halacha is like the Chachamim. Continues the Mishnah. Now that we talk about firewood, let's talk about the fire itself. Ein motzi'in ha'sa'ur, you cannot on Yom Tov create fire, lo min ha'etzim, from wood, meaning like you rub two pieces of wood together, lo min ha'avonim, or stones, same idea, you rub or knock two flints or two pieces of wood together, two stones together, lo min ha'ofer, or from the dirt. So Rashi describes there's certain kinds of hard dirt where when you dig in it, it creates sparks. In particular, that can happen if you have dirt that has the mineral phosphorus in it. That's actually one of the minerals that you have in match heads. So when you strike a metal shovel against such earth, then it can cause a spark, similar to striking a match on a matchbox. The Rambam gives a different explanation of it also. We can be talking about that you're using animal dung for the purpose. But Pashtus, the idea is that you have a pile of it together, and sometimes you have, it's called spontaneous combustion, that the pile gets hot enough to actually light on fire. So you wouldn't be allowed to do that on Yom Tov. You'd be creating fire. So for example, in this case, according to Rashi, what you're doing is you're digging in the dirt. You're doing a maisa to create the fire. According to the Rambam, he doesn't specify, but preposterous, the idea is you're either piling the tzfiei bako together to create, to make it rise to that critical temperature, or you're digging in those tzfiei bako, and again, you're doing the same thing. Anyway, voluminator ofim, also not from tiles. Actually, Gurion Ashas mentions that the Mishnah, that actually, some of the Rishonim don't have that girsa in the Mishnah. I guess because they understand how would you create fire out of tiles. On the other hand, actually, the Aruch brings from a Medrash, we have the famous thing that on Matzoi Shabbos, Hashem gave Adam the understanding to strike two things together and create fire, and that's why we say, Bodem Ora Ish, Matzoi Shabbos. The Aruch brings from a Medrash that what it was is Hashem gave him two tiles. We usually say that Hashem showed him two rocks or something, but the Aruch has a girsa that Hashem gave him two tiles. So according to that, again, these tiles are made out of some kind of hard material where you strike them together and you can produce a spark. So you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. V'loy min ha'mayim, and not from water. How would you make fire out of water? So Rashi describes, you take water, you put it into a glass keli, into a clear glass keli, you put it in the sunlight, and it acts as a lens, and it focuses the sun's rays so it can set things on fire. Many of us remember doing such things as kids. You take a magnifying glass and use it to burn a little piece of paper out in the sun. Rashi brings, actually, he brings that he saw this in a piyut from Echad Migaoni Lombardia, from one of the Gaonim of Lombardy. Lombardy is an area in Italy nowadays. It's Milan is the capital, is the central city of it. Actually, in the Surah Sashas, it refers to that the Gaon of Lombardia that he's referring to, it was named of Shabse Donolo. This Rav Shabbosay lived about 200 years before, about 100, 150 or so years before Rashi. He lived in southern Italy, which is not really near Lombardy, but maybe Rashi is using Lombardia in a more general sense. I mean, all of Italy, whatever. He was a famous doctor and scientist and whatever in the time of the late Gaonim and very early Rishonim. Among other things, he wrote a Pirush on Sefer Yetzirah. And in that, he mentions this concept of using water in a glass to focus it on something as a lens and set things on fire. So now the Mishnah is saying you can't do that on Yom Tov. The Rambam mentions another example also. You have, he says, a very sensitive and very sharp kind of neft, like kerosene or something, where you shake it and that's enough to set it on fire. You have nowadays, you have certain explosives like nitroglycerin is a little like that. You shake it and that's enough to set it on fire. So I don't know if they had nitroglycerin in the Rambam's times, but you had similar kinds of things that he described, that you shake them and that's enough to raise their temperature to the point where they'll light on fire. So you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. in the lobbin, et cetera, often with Swiss mehen, you're also on Yom Tov not allowed to heat up the tiles white hot in order to roast food on them. Now, why not? Why would that be any different than roasting them in an oven? That we'll see in the Gemara. Yeah.
Why didn't you say, why don't you throw a coal to a flame?
Because a coal is already a flame. It's already, if it's red hot, then that's already a flame.
That would be permitted.
So that would be permitted on Yom Tov to fan it, yeah. If it's covered with white and it's already dimming, maybe not. But maybe that would be an example for offer. It could be. For the often. The often means tiles, so not really. I mean, it's hard to make. It's a little hard to make coals fit into that. And keep in mind, they didn't have coal in those times. They didn't really know of coal like the kind that you mine from the ground and the kind that you buy coals in the store, like for your barbecue. They didn't really have that in those days, but they had this charcoal. So to have charcoal if it got too dim, I don't know that you'd be able to fan it back up to make a flame. So maybe the mission didn't mention that because it wasn't really something you could do anyway. And if it's red hot, then you are allowed to. Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Omer of Yehuda, Oich le behema ein behem b'shem tikkun kli. Things that are edible as animal food, there's no issue of tikkun kli in them, so you would be allowed to take a piece and break it off to use it, for example, for a toothpick. So, for example, Rashi describes, let's say you have a piece of straw. Since the straw is edible by animals, then you're allowed to break off a piece and use it as a toothpick. Eisved of Kahana, Lord of Yehuda. So Rav Kahana said to Rav Yehuda, what do you mean? You have a braisa that says, "Metalkulin ased summon lahariach behem." You're allowed to move on Yom Tov, and for that matter on Shabbos, spice wood, like for example cinnamon or something, lahariach behem, to smell it on Shabbos, or lahonif behem lachoyla, or to wave it in front of a sick person, like to create a breeze to cool them off. You're also allowed to roll it between your fingers to make the fragrance come out. And then smell it on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to cut off the end of it, to break off the end of it in order to make the fragrance come out, because that way you're going to have, like, the area that you cut off is going to be more moist because it was inside before, and now you bring it out, and therefore that makes the smell come out better. So you're not allowed to do that. Rashi explains because of Gzeira, because, fine, in that case, you're not doing it to make a keli. You're doing it in order to smell it better. But Gzeira, because you might come to do that in order to make a keli, namely to use it as a toothpick. And that would be an Issa Daraisa of making a keli. The Imkitmoy, and if you did break off the end for that purpose, Potter, not for the toothpick, for to smell it, Potter Aval Osir, then it's Potter, as usual with things that are banan, you're Potter from a Chatas for it, but it's also to do Midir Abanan. And continues the braisa, lachtitz b'shinav. If he broke off the piece because he wants to use it to pick his teeth, so that's making a keli. Lo yiktmenu, then he's not allowed to break it off. V'im kitmei chayav chatas. And if he did cut it off, if he did break it off, then he's chayav chatas because then he's making a keli. So now the point of the question is, you have some acid, some im, which are usable as animal food as well. For example, the Rambam describes that when you have the ingredients of the Shemen HaMishcha and the Tertus, the Rambam describes that you have one of the ingredients of it there, he says, resembles straw, but it has a fragrance to it. So the pastures, that kind of thing would be edible by animals like straw. And still, we see that if you break it off on Shabbos, then it's also and actually also Nedaisa. So what are you telling me that there's no problem with Tikkun Kli with them? Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda was very impressed by the question. According to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda was very impressed by the question. At first, he said, "I'll answer you, but you should know that was a very good question that you brought up." Hashda Potter Aval also Kakashali. Really, if you had found a braisa that said that if you're making a toothpick out of it, it would be awesome to Rabbanan, I would find reason enough to wonder about that. Chayav chatas mi boya. Now you're finding a braisa that says that it's actually also daraisa. It seems like a very strong question. I'll give you the answer. Kitanyahi bekoshin. That braisa is talking about where the sticks, the straw, whatever, is hard, so therefore it's not roi l'maichel behema. In other words, if it was soft, then I'm saying that in behemishum chicken kli, you're right. That if you're right, that based on your braisa, if it's hard, then that would be different. Tosfos has a problem with Rashi's explanation because the lashon of the Gemara is, for one thing, the Rebbe Yehuda's lashon is a little wordy in that case. If that's all he means, so therefore Tosfos brings from Rebbe Hananel a different girsa. Rebbe Yehuda is telling Rebbe Kahana, it must be this braisa that you quoted. There must be a mistake in it because really such a thing would be completely mutter. So how is the braisa going to the opposite extreme and saying that it's chayav chatas? So therefore, then when the answer is the question is not Rabbi Yehuda explaining, you know what, you had a good question, but I'll tell you the difference. Rather, according to Tosfos and according to Rabbi Hanano, Rabbi Kahana is answering to Rabbi Yehuda. The difference is that braisa is talking about hard ones, whereas which are not really the Michael Behema. So therefore, there's not necessarily a mistake in the braisa. But then the question still is on you, Rabbi Yehuda, because you're saying that. That even hard ones, you're allowed to. So we're saying that the braisa is talking about hard ones. So then we're saying that if you break off a piece to sniff it, that to make it smell better, then it's potter avol. Also, it's also midrabanan. And if you break off a piece to make a toothpick, then it would be also daraisa. So the question is, what do you mean, caution? B'nei melila ninu? What do you mean? The Mishnah had said that you can roll it between your hands in order to make the fragrance come out. If it's hard, then rolling it between your fingers and crushing it between your fingers is not going to do any good. So, l'chura, then the braisa is talking about soft ones. The answer is chsuri mechsera. The braisa is missing a phrase. V'hochi katoni. It means to say like this. Merlaloi meriachvoi, koifmeri meriachvoi. You are, in fact, allowed to roll it between your fingers, which the braisa had said, and you're even allowed to break off the end in order to sniff it so that it'll smell better. But when is that talking about as far as soft ones, which are roi l'maichel behema, avol b'koshin, but when it comes to hard ones, lo yiktemenu, then you're not allowed to break off the end, in order to smell it. V'imkitmai potter avol aser, if he did break it off, then he's potter avol aser because it's d'rabbanan. On the other hand, lachtitz by shinav, and then a third possibility, if they're hard and he's breaking it off in order to pick his teeth, lo yiktemenu, then he's not allowed to give kit my chayev chatas. Then he would be chayev chatas, because again, we're talking about a hard one, which is not roi, the maichel behema, and then being a hard one, then it's actually making a keli out of it. So the braisa can be understood that way, so therefore it's not a contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, actually, Tosfos says, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda would say a little differently. Rabbi Yehuda still didn't agree with Rav Kahana that the braisa is completely correct. He held that there still seems to be a mistake in the braisa. Rabbi Yehuda himself would hold that if he's using it for a toothpick, it's potter avol aser, and to smell it would be mutter even lachatchila, even though it's hard. So not like the braisa is saying that if it's hard, then it would be potter avol aser for smelling and also midaraisa. For a toothpick, Rabbi Yehuda would downgrade each of those one. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Toni choda koitmei meriachvoi. Now again, we have one braisa that says that you're allowed to break off the end of it and smell it, and that means even lachatchila. So Rashi explains in general when a soft one, you usually don't use as a toothpick because a soft one is not really going to do much good as a toothpick. Therefore, we're talking about a hard one. So one braisa says koit me meriachvoi. One says you're allowed to break off and smell it. B'tanya idach lo yiktemenu lahariachvoi. Another one says that you're not allowed to break it off in order to smell it. So how do we reconcile? Same thing. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chista, like kasha haba rakin haba koshin. It means one is talking about soft ones, the other one is talking about hard ones. So with soft ones, you're allowed to break off a piece for any purpose. Even Rashi says you'll be allowed to break it off as a toothpick. Just practically speaking, you won't, because a soft piece is not going to do much good as a toothpick. Whereas with a hard one, you're not allowed to break it off in order to smell it, because again, you might come to break it off in order to use for a toothpick, which would be making a cable. Mas before of Achba Yaakov. However, of Achba Yaakov asks on that, the caution on my loy, why indeed should it be also to break off a piece of a hard one in order to smell it? Why would the Chachamim make a gzeira on that? After all, you're not meaning to make a keli. My shna mahoditnan. Why is it different than a case that we learn in Mishnayos Shabbos? Shover adam as a chavis lechalim and a gregris. A person is allowed to break open a barrel full of gregris of dried figs and eat from there on Shabbos. Over vajalei yiskaven lasis kli, as long as he doesn't intend to make a keli. So Rashi explains, in other words, that the point is that you can break a random size hole in it. And we're not gozer, that you're not allowed to, where you're making the hole nice, where you're making it larger or nice or whatever, so that you can more easily get out the gregris, but we're not gozer that you can't make the hole at all because you might come to make a nice sized and shaped hole. So why over here would we say that you're not allowed to break off a piece of the twig in order to smell, because you might come to instead make a toothpick out of it? So we're gonna get back to the Shoiver Adam Sachavis later. We're gonna get back to towards the bottom of the Amud what that case is where it's allowed. Anyway, va'oid, and furthermore, Rav Acha bar Yaakov asked, Harava Barav Ada and Ravan Barav Ada da Amitavayu, both Rava Barav Ada and Ravan Barav Ada say, Ki Havenan Bay Rav Yehuda, when we were in Rav Yehuda's Beis Medrash, have a mafashach yohivlon al vasa. On Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda would break off, would take off little twigs from a larger pieces of wood, would break off pieces and give us alvasa, big size sticks of the wood, of the besamim wood, even though those pieces of wood, even though the wood itself is hard, and the pieces that he gave us are large enough that you could even use them as a handle for an axe or chatzini is, and Rashi says a pestle is like a plane or something that you use to smooth, a chisel rather, that you use to smooth, just to shape wood. Now he's not. He's breaking it off in order for us to smell. Therefore, there was no problem making a keli. But we don't say that we make a gzeira you shouldn't be allowed to, because instead you might use a piece of that size for a handle of an axe or something, and that would be making a keli. So you see that we don't make such a gzeira. So that's the question then. So how is it that we're saying before you're not allowed to break off a piece to smell, because you might come to break it off to make a keli, to make a toothpick, if we see that Rabbi Yehuda is doing even the hatchila, he's breaking off pieces and giving to his talmidim to smell? Tosfos, by the way, gets into an interesting side point over here. Speaking of besamim and yomtiv, why is it when yomtiv ends do we not smell besamim? Based on our Gemara over here, you can't say the problem is because you might break off a piece to use it for besamim. We see here in the Mishnah, we see here in the Gemara, that would be mutter. Tosfos goes on to say that you could argue maybe, now there's two reasons why to use besamim on Matzah Shabbos. One is because the neshama yisaida leaves the person, and therefore he feels sad, and therefore he needs the besamim to refresh himself. The other reason Tosfos brings over here is because the fire of Gehenim starts burning again Matzah Shabbos, therefore you want the besamim to counteract that. Well, l'chora, both of those would apply on Yom Tov. So why don't we do besamim on Matzah Yom Tov? So Tosfos says that actually, Tosfos learns that actually there is no neshama yisaida on Yom Tov. Therefore, you don't need the summon on Matzah Yom Tov. But then that raises the question: what about when Shabbos ends and you're going into Yom Tov? Why don't we have the summon then? And the answer is Tosfos says, because since you have night good Yom Tov food, that helps make up for the neshama yisaida. That makes the person feel better even without the summon. So Tosfos says that. So that's the thing. Tosfos asks that l'chora, two reasons are because of the neshama yisaida and because of Gehenim. L'chora, both of those apply on Matzah Yom Tov. So why shouldn't you use the summon? So as far as the neshama yisaida, Tosfos's answer is that you don't have a neshama yisaida on Yom Tov. Therefore you don't need the summon at the end of it. Tosfos doesn't go on to deal with. So what about the Eish Gehenim? Actually, Tosfos is saying you can't explain that the reason for besamim is because of Eish Shel Gehenim. Maseres HaShas refers over here to some other places from which it's mashma that it is, in fact, the case that Eish Shel Gehenim starts up again on Matzoi Shabbos. So Tosfos says, though, that the fact is it stops on Yom Tov as well. But if that were the reason, we would, in fact, do it on Matzah Yom Tov. So Tosfos says the primary reason for Besamim is because of the Neshama Yisera, and therefore Tosfos learns there is no Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov, therefore you don't need it on Matzah Yom Tov. And as far as Matzah Shabbos going into Yom Tov, why don't you include Besamim? And Yakna has, the reason is because you have all the good food of Yom Tov, and that helps make up for the Neshama Yisera. The Rashbam, on the other hand, in Pesachim, learns that you do have a Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov. But he says that, so in that case, then that raises the question, Taka, then why, so that would explain what, that would explain the other way around. That would explain why you don't use the Besamim when Matzoi Shabbos goes into Yom Tov. But why don't you use the Besamim on a regular Matzoi Shabbos? So there's a Sicha in Chelek Lamed Aleph in Parshas Kisisa where the Rebbe talks about this and explains that the Rashbam's Shitta can be understood based on something that ran. So actually the Rashbam himself says that the idea is because the Rebbe says that this can be related to something that the Ran says, that the transition from Yom Tov to weekday is not as great as between Shabbos and weekday. Because Shabbos, Malacha is completely Osir, and on weekday it's Mutter. But Yom Tov, as we've been saying throughout the Masechta, certain kinds of Malacha are Mutter, therefore it's not as great a transition to require the Sun. And the Rebbe points out in that Sicha, by the way, that you see from this, that Nigla versus Nifter have somewhat different definitions of what the Neshama Yisera is. Tosfos and the Ran, and implicitly the Rashbam, seem to all be understanding that the Neshama Yisera is more of a Gashmiistic thing. You have good food, for example. Rashi also mentions in one place, I think it was earlier in Arma Sechta, that a Neshama Yisera is that you have the capacity to eat more on Shabbos and on Yom Tov and enjoy it. So it's more of a Gashmiistic kind of thing. Whereas, we usually think of Alpida Zoyar, that it's more of a Ruchniistic thing that you literally have an extra Neshama. When we were learning this previously and talking, we talked a couple of weeks back about this Indian of the Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov. Rabbi Berkowitz, Eli's father, was here over Yom Tov, and he pointed out something he said from the Chidushi Harim, a different reason, a different, deeper reason why not to use the Samim on the Tzor Yom Tov is because unlike Shabbos, it ends, and then that's it. You have the weekday. Yom Tov, in that sense, never completely ends. The Neshama Yisera, you do get a Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov, says the Chidushi Harim, and it never completely leaves you. Al Derech, like you have at the end of the Seder, where Or Minig is not to say Chasal Seder Pesach, because Nimshach into the whole year, so it is with the other Yom Tov as well, therefore no besamim.
Maybe that's why the Rebbe used to say Yakif Halach Darkai, because it continues.
Maybe
Okay.
Getting back to the Gemara. So the question was that the Braisa was telling us that we had a Braisa telling us that in the case of hard kinds of spice wood, you're not allowed to break off a piece on Yom Tov to smell because of a Xera that you might break it off instead to use as a toothpick, which would be making a keli. But we see that Rabbi Yehuda had no problem breaking off pieces for his Talmidim to smell, even though they were large enough pieces to function as a keli. The answer is, like Kasha, Harab Eliezer, Harabonim. The answer is that there's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, and there's the Rabbanan's opinion, and Rabbi Yehuda was following Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya. We learn in a Braisa, similar to what we had in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omen Noitel Odom Kesem Shalafon of Lachtas Veshinav. Rabbi Eliezer allows you to take a piece of wood from what's in front of you, or as Rashi had said on the Mishnah, maybe even from throughout the Chotzer, to pick your teeth. Rachamim Lo Yitel Elame Evos Shabahema. Whereas the Chachamim are saying you can only take a piece from the trough where the animal eats, which is something that's Rori Lachila. And we said before at the top of the Amud, that when it's Rori Lachila, then there's no problem of Tikkun Keli in it. But not wood, because wood is usually meant to make keli, from, so therefore it's mutter only for hasaka. Like we learned on Amud Aleph, that there shita is, lo nitnu etzim ela lahasaka. The shoving, now the Braisa continues, both of them do agree, shelo yiftemenu, that when he takes a chip of wood to use as a toothpick, whether according to Rabbi Eliezer he's taking it from any wood that's in front of him, or according to the Chachamim where he's taking from the straw, whatever that was in the animal's trough, the shoven shelo yiftemenu, they both agree that he's not allowed to break off a piece, and that he's not allowed to break it, to shape it, to break off a little piece from the end to shape it into the shape that he needs. V'im kitmoi lachtetz by shina v'lechtoyach be'adelas. If he did shape it like that in order to use it as a toothpick or in order to use to pick a lock, v'shoigig v'shabas chayiv chattas. If he does such a thing, v'shoigig on Shabbos, he will be chayiv chattas. And of course, if he does it b'mezid, then there's going to be the various other things that happen b'mezid. B'mezid b'yomtiv sefer g'sarboim. If he does this b'mezid on yomtiv, he's going to get malchus. The Shittim Kubetis points out, why do we mention differently Shogig for Shabbos and Mezid for Yomtiv? He says, because really we'd like to talk about Shogig. It's much more common a person does these things for Shogig rather than the Mezid. However, with Shabbos we mention Shogig. Yomtiv, on the other hand, there's no penalty for Shogig. There's no Chatas or anything that you bring for breaking Yomtiv for Shogig. Therefore, there's no choice but to mention what happens if he does it Mezid.
What is the category of Shogig that's supposed to Mezid? What would be
Shogig, so what do you mean, middle ground? It's either Shogig or Mezid for our purposes. Shogig would mean, for example, he doesn't know that this is also on Shabbos. He doesn't know today is Shabbos. Mezid would be where he knows it's Shabbos and he knows this is also and he does it anyway. So, Divir Rabbi Eliezer, so that's according to Rabbi Eliezer. So again, Rabbi Eliezer is allowing him to take the piece of wood to pick his teeth. He's just not allowed to cut it to shape. Whereas the Chachamim say, the ketima is not really a malacha. He wouldn't be chayav chatas or malchus or whatever for it. It's not really a proper tikkun unless he actually cuts it with a knife. So therefore, it's only also mishum shavuos. It's only also midrabanan. So now, Rabbi Eliezer, the kama hasam chayav chatas. So when it comes to when we said that with a hard one, you're not allowed to break off a piece to smell it, that would be, Rabbi Eliezer would say, since Rabbi Eliezer would say that if you're using it to make a toothpick, then it would be chayav chatas. Hacha potter aval aser, then if he's breaking off a piece in order to smell it, then it would be potter aval aser. So sorry, I said it wrong, and actually, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, when he's breaking off pieces for his stomach to smell, is going according to the Chachamim, not according to Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer would say that it's never mutter. It's to make a toothpick, even if he's breaking it off by hand, would be potter aval aser. To use it to make a toothpick would be also daraisa. To use it to smell would be also derabanan. Whereas according to Rabbanan, the Ka'ami, Hossam, Potter, Aval, also, whereas the Chacham say, even making it into a toothpick is only Dirabanan, because only making it with a keli, only cutting it with a keli, like a knife, would be also Daraisa. Breaking it by hand is never going to be more than a Dirabanan. So then, according to them, when it comes to breaking it off in order to smell it, they would say it's Mutav HaTchila, and that is what Rabbi Huda was following when he broke off pieces of this wood for his Talmidim to smell. So the question then is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that was saying that it's potter aval aser, the less flavor Rabbi Eliezer had its man shreva adam zachavis lechalim in a gregus. Does Rabbi Eliezer not agree with the din that we said before about breaking open a chavis, about breaking open a barrel to eat gregus out of it? After all, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you meant to make a proper keli, if you meant to make a proper opening by hand, according to him, that would be an isur daraisa. Why wouldn't we make a gzera? Then he shouldn't make any kind of hole. The answer is Amar Ravashi Kitaniyahi b'mustiki. That braisa is talking about mustiki, which is Rashi describes a barrel where it broke apart, and then you used resin or gum or something from a tree to stick it back together. Rashi describes there's a specific kind of sap that they make. They make a kind of tar out of it. Rashi describes it with the French word rishina, which is like the word resin in English. Rashi describes it smells like levoina, like frankincense. And in the word mustiki in the Gemara over here is actually, Rashi says, in Arabic they also called it mustiki. It might actually be related to the word mastic, which is a kind of sap from a certain tree, where in modern Hebrew chewing gum is called mastic. And in English you have the word mastication, which means to chew. So maybe it's related to all of those, I don't know. Anyway, so you use it when you have a kli cheres that broke apart, you use this mustiki to glue it back together. Rashi brings that he was told this by the Shmuel Chosid from Barbashta, which is a city in Spain. Interesting, you know, Rashi himself lived in northern France. We usually think, you know, when did he ever know anybody from Spain? But here we see that there was somebody a Chosid that he met from Spain who told him about this mustiki stuff. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says, since the keli to begin with is already fragmentary and was glued back together, there's no problem that he's going to mean to make a keli because he's not going to try to make a keli out of such a thing. It's anyway almost falling apart and he only glued it back together. Therefore, in that case, Rabbi Eliezer would agree, there's no reason to make a gzeira. Had it been at an intact container, then yes, Rabbi Eliezer would say it's also to do that. So in other words, Tosfos teaches Rashi that what Rashi means is because anyway the keli is weak, he's not going to try to make a larger opening because the larger an opening he makes, the more likely is the whole thing is going to fall apart. Tosfos brings from the Ri a different explanation. It's not considered tikkun keli anyway because even if he did make a proper hole in it, because the pieces were broken apart and glued back together, it's not really considered a keli. Therefore, it's not considered tikkun keli even if he made a proper hole. Therefore, again, Rabbi Eliezer is going to agree there's no reason to make such a gzeira. This business about mustiki is very relevant as far as the question of opening, part of the question of opening boxes and containers and wrappers and whatnot on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where one thing is, when you have the kind of container which is meant to open and then you use it once and then you throw it away, that many of the contemporary poskim say it falls into the category of mustiki, like we're talking about over here, and therefore you'd be mutter to open them or to rip them or whatever on Shabbos and Yom Tov in order to get at the food. It gets very complicated because you also have the problem, on the other hand, if you are making a keli out of it, then it's also. So for example, you have certain kinds of cans where you are making a proper keli out of them when you open them with a can opener. Or for example, you have the old style milk cartons. Rav Moshe talks about there can be a problem because you're making a proper spout over there. So it gets complicated, but there are cases where you actually have to, for example, make a hole on the other side in order that it's not a functional keli anymore. At least in principle, there are some of these kinds of boxes and containers and whatnot that you can open and not have a problem on Shabbos or on Yom Tov because they're like the mustiki in the Gemara over here.
There's no problem with corks of wine.
Corks of wine, no. You're allowed to take out a fork. You're not making... you're not making a keli in any way over there because you're not making a keli in any way. But the cork itself is not part of the wine bottle and it's stuck inside the wine bottle, but it's not part of it, and you're not reshaping it in any way when you take it out. It expands when you take it out, but you're not really reshaping it. It was usable to close the wine bottle before, and it's just as usable now. You haven't changed it in any way. When you have those bottle caps, like on soda bottles or whatever, where you take them off and it leaves a ring behind, then you have a whole discussion among the poskim whether such a thing is mutter on Shabbos or not. Because then you could argue that you're making it into a new functional keli that can be used to close that bottle or a different bottle because now you're leaving the ring behind. But over here with a cork, you don't have that. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara says, Umagabev min achotzer. We said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to collect wood from around the chotzer and use for firewood. So, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Megabev min achotzer u'mablik. You're allowed to collect wood from around the chotzer and make a fire. Shekol mashe b'chotzer mochanu. Because again, Rabbi Eliezer is saying in the Mishnah, everything in the chotzer is considered mochan. Uvilvad shalayaset tiburin tiburin, as long as he doesn't make piles and piles of the wood. Because then when he makes piles, it makes it look, the Gemara is going to say why. But Reb Shimon Matir, whereas Reb Shimon says he's even allowed to make piles. Now, it's interesting, don't you have the Malacha of Ma'amer? We talked about the other day that many Rishonim say that Ma'amer only applies where you're doing it, where the thing originally grew. Here, the wood didn't grow in the Chotzer, therefore there's no issue of Ma'amer. So therefore, Reb Shimon is allowed. So B'mayikum B'mayikum, so what's the Machlokas? Why is the Tanakama saying it's Chotzer? Because the Tanakhama says if you're making a big pile, it makes it look like you're collecting not just for today, for Yom Tov, you're collecting for the next day and the day after that, and of course you're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov or after Yom Tov. Whereas Reb Shimon says the fact that he has a pot out there ready to cook, everybody can see the pashtus they used to cook in their chatzeres often, so therefore everybody can see that he's gathering the wood in order to cook his pot of food. Therefore, it's obvious that he's collecting it for today, and there's no reason to worry about that. It looks like he's collecting for subsequent days. Machne means to gather. The shirdish is konaf, that means like the konaf, like the corner of a garment, like you gather them together. Okay, And one more thing, the Mishnah said, "Ein metzi in a se'ur v'chola." We're not allowed to create fire using these different methods that we mentioned in the Mishnah. My time, Mishnah, become murdered the yomtiv because you're creating something new on yomtiv. And we know ma'isim v'chol yom. You're not allowed to, for example, strike a match or whatever on yomtiv, but you're allowed to take fire from one place to another, like you do with the yotze candles.
Can you elaborate on
So it's based on the Zohar. The Zohar says that a neshama yisera is literally a person has an extra neshama on Shabbos. It does express itself in the eating, because eating on Shabbos, at least, that's actually one difference. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov that if a person on Yom Tov, he's having a nice suda and he doesn't invite Orchim, he closes up his door and won't allow Orchim in, then there's such a thing. It's not Simchas Yom Tov, the Rambam says it's Simchas Kresai. It's just the joy of his stomach, and the Eivishka holds that against him. Zerizi Perish Al Pnechem. But the Zohar explains, actually, the Pasuk mentions Perish Chageichem, like the waste, the dung of your Yom Tovim. And Hashem says, I'm going to throw it in your faces. I'm not going to reward you for that, because that's not the Simcha of Yom Tov. On the other hand, the Zohar says, Perish Shabbat Chem Loi Ka'omar. There's no such thing with Shabbos. Even if a person is eating on Shabbos in a gluttonous way, that he's not inviting Orchim, he's not whatever. Nevertheless, the fact that it's Shabbos, that eating itself is a mitzvah, and he is accomplishing only Shabbos with it. And they put Perish Shabbat Chem Loi Ka'omar. So that feeds into this kind of, since a person has a neshama yisera on Shabbos, therefore that's Maila, he's eating itself to a higher level, to the extent that we don't say Perish Shabbat Chem. Whereas on Yom Tov, we're saying if a person has, and according to Tosfos, a person doesn't even have a neshama yisera. According to the Rashbam, fine, it does, but maybe according to the Ran, and the Rebbe is explaining the Rashbam in this vein, that it's sort of like a weaker neshama yisera, kind of, like the distinction between it and weekday is not as sharp, since you can do malacha. Therefore, that doesn't have the ability to be Mila his eating unless he's taka doing it with the right purposes and with inviting Orchim and so forth. So that's one aspect of it, for example. So in that sikha, in the Chelek Amud Aleph, that ever talks about more in general the idea of what the Neshama Yisera is all about, according to Nigla and according to Chassidus. Yeah.
What happens when Shabbos falls on Yom Tov? You have three Neshamas?
Well, that's a good question. You don't necessarily have two extra Neshamas. For Pashas, you have one extra. One for Shabbos, and you have one extra one for Shabbos. Maybe it has a Yom Tov aspect to it also. I don't know.
Who asked that?
I don't know. You just asked it. I don't know. It's a good question. If a person on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but Pashas, a person only has one extra Neshama Yisera. The Pashas, in that sense, Shabbos.
Well, if you have just one extra, then there's a Stira. Either you have one, or either you have two, or you have three.
No, the fact that, no, when I say one, I mean one extra one. I mean, you have two neshamas. But you see that when Shabbos ends and Yom Tov is ending as well, you do make full Havdalah, including the Besamim. Given that we're saying the reason for the Besamim is the Neshama Yisera, then obviously it was a Shabbos. You had a Shabbos stick in Neshama Yisera. Does it have a Yom Tov aspect as well? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, but that's not a proof, because the Besamim could take two neshamas in one shot.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know that there's a particular reason to think that a person, especially according to Tosfos, again, a person never has a neshama yisera on Yom Tov, then there's nothing to talk about. The question would be, according to the Rashbam, that a person does have, and the Ran, that a person does have a neshama yisera on Yom Tov, but I don't know. I don't know if there's still a reason to say necessarily that they're two separate neshama yiseras, but I don't know, actually. We'd have to look further into that, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, you too.